Welcome to Wholesome Health for You podcast, where I'm bringing holistic health and traditional living to anyone that's listening. I'm Julia Dolgorova, your host, and this is episode 32. Hello everyone, I hope you guys are doing well. If you're new here, welcome, and if you have been here before, welcome back. So in this week's episode, I want to talk about herbalism and foraging for herbs. But before I talk about that, I'm going to tell you guys about my past week, per usual. So, thankfully, I only had to go to school on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then spring break started, and I had a long weekend. The only thing that's kind of a shame is that the school district in our local city had school off the whole entire week, like Monday through Friday, which is unfair, but whatever. A couple of my friends go to school there and they had the whole entire week off and I was so jealous. But for some reason, my school district is always like a lot more strict and it never gives us the same amount of days off as in the city. But I did have some tests in school, but not anything too bad since we were getting ready to go on break. And then at work, I did lots of field work. So things like mulching the rows of lavender and cutting down old fennel. Also some tilling on the tractor and just like field work, stuff like that. And lots of pulling weeds. I didn't go to work on Thursday because it was the first day of break and I just wanted to have that day off and stay home. But here at home, we've been doing so much fun stuff in the garden. I'm so excited about it all. There's a local place not far from my house that's like a mulch yard. And you bring a trailer or if you have a pickup, you just drive your truck. And they'll put scoops of soil in your trunk or in your trailer. So me and my dad drove and took my truck to this place. And they put a scoop of compost in the car, and by scoop I mean like it's a bobcat scoop, if that makes sense, like a bobcat excavator tractor thing that has like a huge scoop on it and they like put it in your trunk. Anyways, we got a scoop of compost and drove it home, and wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow we spent the day up unloading all of it into the garden beds and all around the gardens to nourish the soil a bit and kind of bring some life back to it after the winter, and the garden is looking great. The compost is super rich, and it was like steaming when we were unloading it, which means the compost was doing its job. And anyways, I planted a bunch of peas and radishes, and tomorrow I'm gonna plant potatoes and broccoli, so the garden is officially doing its thing. I'm so excited about it. Also, all of my tomato starts died for some reason, and I'm really mad about it. And I'm not going to talk about it because it makes me really sad. Anyways, we also went back again to get a scoop of mulch for all of our fruit trees and our berry bushes. We call it our little orchard. It's like a section of our yard where we have this like orchard, all of our like berry bushes and fruit trees and stuff like that. So we spent Saturday mulching. And mulch makes the orchard look so beautiful. And all the plants stand out so much. The mulch yard got this new mulch this year that's dye-free, so it's not going to leach chemicals into our food, which is great. Then with my internship, I posted on Instagram for GAPS Youth Movement, so I'll share a link in the show notes. Gym is really progressing, and the first blog post will be going up soon, so I'll keep you guys updated. Just a reminder, it's gym because GAPS Youth Movement, the, you know, GYM stands for GAPS Youth Movement. Anyways. I'm recording this episode on Monday, and yesterday was Easter, so I thought that I would do a brief explanation. So my family is Ukrainian Orthodox, and our Easter is called Pascha, and we celebrate it the weekend after Catholic Easter. That's how it is in Europe. Parts of Europe that are Orthodox Christian. So next Sunday, we make Pascha breads and dye eggs and go to church to get our food blessed, and we come home and eat for the holiday. But yeah, our traditions are a little bit different. There's a few ways that they're different, but we still kind of celebrate Catholic Easter in a way because Easter is just a beautiful holiday. So on Easter, we try, like, you know, to stay home and like do peaceful things, not do anything crazy. And then on our Easter, we will go to church and like actually like celebrate it, you know. But next weekend, or next Friday, we're going camping with my family, and I'm so excited. I love going to the lake because right now the like boating season hasn't really opened yet. It's the water's still pretty cold, so only a few people are there, and the lake is super quiet and it's peaceful and beautiful. And the campground is a boat to shore campground, so you could only get there by boat. Like, you can't drive up there. You can hike across the mountain, but like, it's a pretty long hike, especially if you're carrying like a gazebo and like your coolers and all that type of stuff, which we're not gonna do that. So you drive your boat across the lake and you go to the campground, and I'm so excited about it. They put new rocks on the shore. So this campground has existed for a very long time. It's called Nancy Campground. It's at Racetown Lake in Pennsylvania. But it used to be a military base, and it was like a town. And then something happened, and they basically like destroyed everything and flooded it with this lake. So now it's this lake, and it's been there for a really long time. And there's this campground. It's Nancy Campground. It's boat to shore, so you could only get there by boat or by hiking, as I just said. And I've been going there since I was literally a little tiny baby. I think I was just a couple months old the first time that we went there. And we go there every single year. We go camping all the time there. And it's amazing because it's not the type of campground where there's like cars everywhere and like people go and park their trailers and stuff. Like, it's just tents. Some people sleep in hammocks. It's just like this like half island peninsula type of thing. And it's so beautiful. It's amazing. You can go swimming in the lake. The lake is like clean water. Like, it, you don't have to worry about anything from like the old town that used to be there. Like, it's all clean and stuff because it's been there for so long. But yeah, we would go swimming there. We still go swimming there all the time, but right now the water is just too cold to go swimming, especially because it's up in the mountains. It hasn't warmed up yet. So me and my dad are just going to go fishing because they released a lot of trout and stuff into the lake. So we're gonna go fishing, and I'm really excited about that. And we're gonna stay there till Sunday, and then early Sunday morning we're gonna come home so that we can celebrate Pascha. So yeah, that's the plan for next week. That was a bit about what I was up to last week, and now let's get into the actual info for this week's episode. So I'm going to talk about some herbs and plants that you guys could forage for in the spring. Of course, everyone's areas has different plants, and where you live might not have all of these, but overall they're pretty common, so I hope you still find some of this information valuable, and I hope that some of these plants exist in your area. I'll talk about the plant itself and some of the benefits of it. And also, wanted to tell you guys, in some of these, I'm going to kind of explain what the plant looks like, but honestly, if you're actually going to go foraging for these plants and you don't know what, like, exactly what they look like, I would really recommend looking up a picture, because you don't want to pick the wrong thing and then poison yourself or something terrible. So look up a picture. I'm pretty sure there's also an app called, like, Plant Identifier or something like that, where you could take a picture of the plant and it tells you exactly what it is. So yeah. I'll try my best to explain everything through words, but of course it's a lot better to see a picture of it so you could compare it once you go foraging. Okay, so the first plant is called horsetail. It mostly grows in damp areas and around ponds or swamps, and the plant itself grows and reproduces by spores. So I wanted to kind of share a little definition of what spores are in case you don't know. Spores are a one-celled reproductive unit that can give rise to a new individual plant without normal reproduction. So some examples of this are lower plants, fungi, and protozoans. They all grow from spores. And horsetails fall into this category. Anyways, horsetails has female parts that are fluffy, and these parts open in the spring, followed by spear-like male plants. They grow the most in the spring, and that's when there's the most of them, but you can find them throughout the year in damp areas, especially after heavy rains and around ponds. horsetail is an amazing source of silica, but the plant is a bit tough, so it's best to use it for infusions and teas instead of just like straight up eating it. But it's also great for supporting bone health, and it may even aid in bone healing. It acts as a natural diuretic, so this means it makes you pee a lot. I'm like reading from my notes and like looking at the bullet points that I wrote down, so sometimes I pronounce words wrong. You guys know that. I'm having a little trouble with that today, obviously, but horsetails are a natural diuretic is what I was trying to say. It makes you pee a lot. A horsetail promotes wound healing and even nail health. You can use it as a poultice, which means you chew it up and you basically like spit it out and rub it onto your wound wherever like you have the wound, and it promotes quick wound healing. It's overall also like just really good for your hair, skin, and your nails. Okay, the next plant is a super common one, and I've talked about it before, but it's dandelions. It grows basically everywhere like a weed, in yards, between sidewalk cracks, in gardens, in parks, like literally anywhere. Everyone tries to get rid of them in their yard, even though they're super beneficial. But all plants of the dandelion are edible. You may see that sometimes the leaves are more narrow or more wide, or some are bigger and some are smaller on different plants, and that's completely normal. Depending how much water the plant gets or how much nutrients there is in the soil, the leaves are different sizes. So it's not like the one that has big leaves is the good dandelion, the one that has small leaves is like a fake dandelion. So that's not anything to worry about. You can use the greens in salads or even pesto, but also in tea and tinctures. Dandelions are super rich in antioxidants, and they can even help balance your body's homeostasis. They lower blood pressure, regulate blood sugar, and can even help manage weight. It's also a diuretic, so it helps you clear out your system and flush out waste, which is great for supporting your liver. The next plant is yarrow leaves. Yarrow is pretty easy to identify purely by its strong medicinal scent, but the young leaves look very feathery and soft, and they grow in large clusters. There are a few lookalikes to yarrow in the wild carrot family, but no other plant has a distinct smell of plants in the yarrow family. Yarrow has many uses. The leaves help fight bacteria and viruses. They promote digestion and detoxification. They can relieve cramps and menstrual pain. And they aid in the treatment of certain skin conditions. They're anti-inflammatory, reduce blood pressure, and treat blood system-related issues. It's also very useful for blood clots, bruising, and just to help internal bruising from concussions and falls. It's also a diaphoretic and will help break a fever. Yarrow is a really cool plant. Here where I live in Pennsylvania, you could find it sometimes, but like it's not as common as it is in other places. So if you have a lot of yarrow in your area, take advantage of it. The next plant is cottonwood tree buds. Cottonwood should not be used if you're allergic to anything in the aspirin family or pain relievers. That's just a little warning. Cottonwood should be identified during the year to make harvesting the cottonwood buds easier in the spring. You want to harvest the buds before any leaves begin to come out, because they should be full of resin and super tight. The resin in the buds was used by indigenous people for all sorts of things. The resin is antibacterial and anti-infective. It's been used in wound healing and an aid for skin ailments like eczema, cuts and scrapes, insect bites, rashes, and psoriasis. You can simply fill a jar with the buds and fill it the rest of the way with a good olive oil, and later use the oil to make a salve. It's basically just really good for any type of skin issues or skin irritations. The next plant is mullein leaf. It's a super fuzzy plant. The leaves are very fuzzy. The rosettes flourish in recently disturbed areas in broken ground. You can dry the leaves for later use, or you can dry the leaves and make an infused oil. Mullein is good for any type of respiratory issue like asthma, sore throat, and coughs. It's anti-inflammatory. It has lots of soothing properties. It works almost immediately if you ingest it through a tea, and lots of people actually smoke it. My dad had some coughing issues, like he always coughs, and my mom made him smoke mullein. It was really funny. But better smoke mullein than leaves instead of cigarettes. So, you know, make good choices, guys. But yeah, mullein is super great for healing your lungs. The next plant is violets. There are many different types of violets that grow in the wild, but all violets have similar properties and are edible. Some people like using them in salads or on baked goods, and they look really pretty, but they're really great when used as a detoxifier. They're high in vitamin C, which is great for treating and preventing colds. They stimulate the lymphatic and immune system, and they are a natural cough remedy. They have the ability to help treat infections in the upper respiratory tract. So not only are they beautiful, but they're also very beneficial in healing. And the last plant is stinging nettle. Young nettle shoots are very rich in vitamins and minerals like iron and calcium. They are great and edible, but do not eat them raw because they will sting your mouth. You can make soups and stir fries and anything cooked with them, and even use them in smoothies. That way they don't sting. Stinging nettle reduces symptoms of hay fever and just allergies in general. It relieves sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes. It can even lower blood pressure and inflammation. My grandma had really bad knees and really bad knee problems, and her knees were like often very inflamed and puffy, and she would go outside, grab a bunch of stinging nettle, and like smack her knees with it, like on her bare skin. She would like hit her knees with it until her like knees were all red and stinging, and the stinging helped reduce inflammation and relieve the pain. So she was feeling stinging, but as soon as the stinging went away, she didn't feel the pain of her knees anymore, and the puffing from the inflammation of her knee problems would go away. So this is a super cool and traditional way of healing. There's so many cool plants. Plants are amazing. I love talking about it. It's just like incredible how you can like go outside, look at a plant, and boom, it could like heal your problems. You know, it's actually really amazing. I hope you guys learned some fun stuff. Okay, that's going to be it for this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed. Hopefully some of these plants grow in your area so you can take advantage of them growing in the spring and make medicine from them. I spent this day today collecting dandelions from my backyard to make lots of tincture. I'm so excited to have dandelion tincture again because I ran out of last year's batch. And to buy it online is actually pretty expensive. Like, if you want to buy a small bottle of like a couple ounces of tincture, of dandelion tincture, it could be like 20 something dollars, okay? If you go and collect dandelions, it's free. It only takes up a little bit of your time. And if you buy like my dad will buy the big bottles of Tito's vodka if I want to make tincture. And if I use, I think it's like $40 or $50, the huge bottle. And if I make that amount of tincture, it could last me. I take tincture every day, so it lasts me for like a year and a half, and that's like so many ounces of tincture. It like is a lot more, you get a lot more than however much you would buy online. If you bought $50 worth of dandelion tincture, you won't get as much as you would if you made it by yourself. Does that make sense? I feel like I make no sense. What I'm trying to say is it's a lot more cheaper if you buy, I mean, it's a lot cheaper if you make your own tincture than if you buy it online. Even though it seems a lot to like buy a $50 bottle of Tito's, it's a lot cheaper than if you were to buy $50 worth of the tincture online. You get a lot more if you make it by yourself. I hope that made sense. I feel like I'm just rambling and I'm making no sense. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Follow the podcast on Instagram at Wholesome Health For You. As you know, it'll be in the link in the show notes. And see you guys next week. Bye, guys.